Taking a Walk with Buzz Knight.
Well, hi, this is Buzz Knight. I'm the host of the Taking a Walk podcast series, where I walk and talk with interesting people at cool locations, or if you prefer, cool people at interesting locations. Either way, I'm good. I've talked with comedians, business leaders, ordinary people telling extraordinary stories, you name it. We even talked to a neuroscientist once. And if you're a regular listener, thanks for your support. And if you're new, please share and subscribe and tell everybody about Taking a Walk. By the way, if you are a new listener, we actually do take a walk somewhere, so you will hear noises and occasionally even somebody huffing and puffing because we're actually walking. So I tell you that because when we do it in person, that's the case. And in this case, we're doing a virtual version of Taking a Walk, courtesy of Podbean and their app. I prefer in person, but you know, it just seems sometimes like it's not meant to be to get on the road, at least in some cases. Today, our guest in the Toronto, Canada area, our guest is the president of news and entertainment for Rogers Sports and Media. It's been a while since I've seen her in person, but it's nice to be virtually taking a walk with Julie Adam. Hello, Julie.
Hi, Buzz. Great to be walking with you. As you said, I wish we were doing it in person. Maybe we would be walking to Fenway Park and catching a baseball game, but happy to be virtually walking with you.
That's awesome. Now, I'm at a place called Punkatasset Reserve or Preserve in Concord, Massachusetts. So occasionally I might be swatting away a mosquito in this sojourn, but it is a beautiful day. And you are in the Toronto, Canada area, right?
I'm in Toronto. Yes, I'm in Midtown Toronto. Toronto's a big city. And I am sort of in the Midtown area. Walking through a lovely North Toronto neighborhood, and I'm sure at some point in time, you know, you'll hear a lot of car traffic and honking, but I'll try to avoid the main streets.
Just be careful too.
Will do.
Be careful. You might hear a dog barking here. You might hear an airplane flying over because there's Hanscom Air Force Base not too far from here, or you might hear nothing. So that's all good. But thanks for taking a walk. Now, how are our friends in Canada, and specifically Julie Adam and her team at Rogers, doing?
We're doing well. We've you know, Canada has been I'm gonna say perhaps a little more conservative around COVID rules. And so we, you know, we've had more lockdowns than the United States. Toronto, being the biggest city, has had the most waves of COVID. And so we spent the better part of 2 years sort of going in and out of full lockdown. And, you know, over the last maybe 6 months or so, the restrictions have eased. And so our team has, you know, been like most media teams, trying to respond to this pandemic, and having to manage, you know, not only you know, the news and the entertainment. So in a lot of cases with our entertainment brands, it's been keeping things light for people and giving them a reason to laugh. And for our news teams, it's the opposite. It's, you know, the nonstop barrage of news. So they've had to manage how they interact with the audience and how they take care of the audience and how we take care of our clients with how they take care of themselves. And, you know, the number of people that call in sick because of COVID is way up. And so it's been it has been a wild 2 years, but I would say overall we are doing well. And, you know, at the end of the day, we always say we work in media. We really don't have anything to complain about. It's a great gig.
Yeah. Well, you and I share something, which is the fact that certainly started out on air in my career, and I know you also did as well. Talk about how that shapes you to this day as a leader of a media company.
Well, I know how hard it is, and I know that I wasn't any good at it, and I'm not being modest. I mean, I didn't and don't have what it takes to, and it never connected in my head, sort of how you sit in a room by yourself and talk to an invisible group of people and have, you know, no feedback and be entertaining. And so that never clicked for me. I just, as much as I wanted it to, I really didn't want to be in management. I wanted to be on the air and play music and goof around for a living. So I think my first reaction is I understand just how hard the job is. And you know, the people that do it for a living, they make it look so easy, you know? And you know, when I was starting out in the business as an intern and, you know, production operator, I really thought, oh, this is an easy gig. I watch these people do this every day. How hard can it be? And then when you go to do it, you realize, oh my goodness, this is a hard job. And the people, you know, I guess like anybody who's good at their job, they often make it look easy. They're relaxed, you know, they can sort of jump right into it under pressure. But I found it really, really difficult. So I guess that would be my first thought.
So who shaped you and your leadership skills as you were progressing through your career?
I take a little bit from everyone. You know, I learn as much from people in different roles as I do from people, you know, from my bosses, if you will. So, I'll maybe start early with, you know, my dad was a massive influence on me. Just, you know, I watched him work. I could see that he was, you know, he was a really nice guy and people liked him. He had a great sense of humor and, you know, you didn't really meet anybody that didn't like my dad. However, it's also, and not a however, but an and, he was also really tough. I mean, it was fair, but, you know, he believed strongly in, you know, you got to stand up for yourself and stand up for your values and do the right thing. And, you know, when people aren't doing the right thing, make sure that you, you know, use your voice. So he shaped me early on and right through until he passed away. He was definitely my number one confidant. You know, I was always going, you know, calling him or going to see him to talk about business challenges or, you know, things that I wasn't sure about or getting his advice. And then in the industry, I had several people who I worked with who taught me a lot. And, you know, probably the person who influenced me the most was when Rogers bought the radio station that I was working for. You know, it was one of those, like, I didn't know anything about it, and, you know, they changed the format, and so a lot of the personnel changed, but they kept me. And the general manager, market manager, you know, really took me under his wing. And it's kind of funny because he was trying to hire a program director to program the station, and he couldn't, you know, I guess things just didn't work out. I was the assistant program director, and he told me point blank, you're not going to get this job, but do it for now because we need someone to do it. We just bought this station. And then when the real program director comes in, you know, we'll have a job for you. It'll be in another market and you're going to have to move. And are you okay with that? And I said, sure, that's fine. And I think what I took away from him was a few things. One was just how honest he was and direct he was. And he didn't beat around the bush with that conversation. And that really allowed me to get my head around what I needed to do. And it set the expectations. The second was he gave me a lot of shots. you know, that I wasn't, I ended up getting the job. And, you know, and then he gave me several other promotions and more opportunities. And, you know, he gave me all these shots, and I wasn't ready for most of them. In fact, I don't think I was ready for any of them, because when are you ready for anything? I mean, we're never ready for anything. We have to get the experience. We have to have the opportunity to get the experience in order to be ready. And so he gave me a lot of shots. And the last thing was, he was really tough on me. Tough in a, like, not in a, he was a great guy and he was nice and we had a lot of laughs, but, you know, I would get inundated with messages from him about, you know, early in my programming career, like, why did the jingle run here, and why did we play this song, and why was this morning show break this long, and what are you trying to do over here? And it was relentless. And he used to joke and say, you know, I'm either going to get you to be really good at your job, or I'm going to kill you. One of two things is going to happen, obviously. You know, he was goofing around. But it, you know, I don't think with that sort of, like, all those three things, you know, just the being direct, the belief in giving me opportunities to stretch myself, and then nonstop feedback. He gave me tons of positive feedback, too. But, you know, it was constant feedback. And those have always really stuck with me. His name's Chuck McCoy. He's one of the infamous radio legends in Canada. And I was just really lucky to work with him.
That's great. Those are so many qualities and so many important qualities, which leads me to the qualities that you talk about in your book, which, congratulations, we could add author to your resume, Imperfectly Kind. Why kindness is the must-have superpower you need. I love the title. I love the book. Congratulations on it. Talk about what motivated you to put the book out.
Thank you. I don't know why, but for some reason, I've always had it in my head that I want to write a book. And, you know, for as long as I can remember. And so I took a few swings at it, and I couldn't get going. You know, I'd get started, and I'd always have this, you know, this inner voice that would tell me, you know, why are you doing this? You're not an author. You're not a writer. Nobody's going to read it. It's not going to be any good. You know, you have that jerk of an inner voice who tries to talk you out of doing things that you want to, tries to talk you out of your dreams and push you down. I think we all have that voice. And for whatever reason, one day I just sort of, you know, I'm having this inner conversation and shot back, like, who cares if it's not any good? I mean, I'm not trying to be a full-time writer. It's just something I want to do. And it's probably, it may fail. Like, maybe I will write something and release it, and it won't be any good. But that's not failure. Failure is really not doing it. And so once I got my head around that, gave me permission to start. I titled the original title, this book will fail, just to remind myself that, you know, this wasn't about becoming a New York Times bestselling author, just about doing the work and, you know, stretching myself and giving myself an opportunity to do something I hadn't done. And then when COVID hit, you know, I was just sick and tired of all the negative news, and I needed to do something positive. And I needed to, and we were in lockdown, I wasn't traveling, so I had a bunch of time on my hands. And so I think all those things together just gave it, you know, the permission and the time to give it a go. And I'm so glad I did it. It was so much fun, and it was really scary. And and a great experience, and a great learning experience.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's just got a great vibe to it, and God knows we need a little positive vibe these days. I interviewed someone, I don't know if you know this person by the name of Charlene Lee, a business strategist for, you know, all different types of Fortune 500 companies. And she writes about, you know, disruption and transformation, among other things, but writes about people and culture. And she had a comment, which basically, in so many words, says that companies need to start treating their people like humans. I'd love to get your reaction to that comment.
Seems so obvious, don't you think? I mean, I guess. Yeah, it's complicated. You know, business relationships are very complicated because, of course, we are humans, and we need to treat each other with respect. And they're just so complex because they're not always clear. You know, people aren't always, there's power and authority and involved. And there's, you know, some people think they know more than others. And so it's an odd dynamic, isn't it? These business relationships. And I do think at the heart of it, you know, we have to treat each other with respect. And we have to treat each other, yes, like human beings. And, you know, it sounds so silly, but we have to treat each other the way we want to be treated. And I think this notion of, you know, you're a high performer, you deliver great business results, you're a complete jerk. But that's okay because you deliver great business results. I just think that's passé. And yes, we want people to drive great results, but not at the expense of, you know, treating others like garbage. So yeah, I agree with that, and it is obvious. And I think the world is getting to be, you know, the business world is getting to be a better place to work from a culture perspective. Not perfect, but I think we're getting there. And who wants to surround themselves with, you know, people who treat each other badly? I mean, that's not fun, and that's not productive. And so, yes, absolutely, treat each other like humans.
So you've got a lot of great brands in your company. What are some of the brands that you would maybe like to highlight, just in terms of what they do every day for their community, for their advertisers, and how they stand out in their markets?
Yeah, it's tricky because, you know, I should mention all of them. Which time do we have?
Much time as you want.
Always hard to pick a few. But I'll pick a few. You know, I'll maybe start with Breakfast Television and City TV. City TV's got a great story. You know, that's a local television brand, and it's a national network, but it has local executions and local stations. And it was started, I feel like it's going to be its 50th anniversary this year. And, you know, Rogers bought it from the original founder was Moses Nyman. And, you know, it was all about being local television, and did some incredible, really innovative things like Speaker's Corner. Just had so many, such a neat television station. It was, you know, a bit irreverent. It really represented the diversity of the community. The personalities have always represented the diversity of the community. And it's still that way today. And so if we think about City TV, it's just this great national network that airs hit TV shows like Law & Order and Chicago. And then it has this incredible morning show, Breakfast Television. And I'm always just so inspired by whenever they do some kind of call to action, and usually it's a fundraiser or, you know, something for charity. Anytime they put out the ask, you know, the audience is happy to donate or raise money or raise funds. And I always hear, oh yeah, I saw that on Breakfast Television. And it's just such a great reminder of the power of people and a great brand and being consistent. And they do news traffic and weather and all those things, but it's really fun. And then the other incredible part about City TV is City News, which is the local news brand. And we recently rebranded all of our English news outlets to City News. So we have, you know, radio, digital, and television. And City News is, you know, continues to be, it was the first news network that, you know, didn't have anchors at the desk. And they're always, you know, looking for the right local to tell all local stories. They just launched a new feature last week where they're going into different neighborhoods, doing the news from different neighborhoods. You know, not from a city, but from an actual neighborhood and talking about that community. And, you know, their 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock news on Friday was all about talking, was all about a community in Scarborough, which is an area of Toronto. So just that hyper-localness is amazing. So I would say that's one. And then on the radio side, you know, we continue to have two of the biggest brands in Canada. And they're really special because they were also among the first radio brands in Canada. CHFI is where Rogers started. Ted Rogers, the founder of the company, started CHFI, it's on 98.1 now. It was the first that, and you think about that one radio station helped Ted Rogers build this incredible company, you know, which is wireless and cable and, you know, all the things that Rogers is now. You know, media's just a piece of it, and radio's just a piece of that, but it all started with a radio station. So, you know, amazing, amazing brands that we're all lucky to work with. And then we just launched Sonic Radio in Vancouver, and a shout out to the team there, you know, who did decided to play Rage Against the Machine, you know, the same song for 24 hours, just as a way to transition from a pop station to an alternative station. And, you know, the news blew up around the world. And, you know, coverage from Rolling Stone magazine throughout. And I just think that's a great nod to, you know, a local music brand still being able to generate, you know, news across North America. Actually, it was worldwide. There were European publishers that were writing about it over this goofy radio stunt, you know, where they take the song Killing in the Name and play it over and over and over again. So it was a pretty fun ride and a pretty fun launch.
Yeah, congratulations on that. I love that one. And I love the fact that you guys just went for it and did it, and you reap the rewards. So,
well, that's the, you know, Buzz, that's the team, and that, you know, Christian is our national content director, and, you know, he's overseeing Sonic in Vancouver and Jack in Vancouver, and Paul Kay, who's our VP of music brands, you know, and in-house productions. You know, Christian and Paul and their respective team, and would take me an hour to name all of them. That's all them, right? And when you know, you asked me earlier who helped shape my career, those are the kind of people that shape my career, because I'm learning from them all the time, you know. And I think as a leader, it's not, you don't just learn from your boss, you know. You learn, you should be, as humans, we should be on a constant journey of learning and learning from other people. And that was a great example of them and their teams going for it. And hey, I had nothing to do with that. They just told me this is what we were doing. And I said, all right, well, good luck. And then it was such an incredible launch. So all the kudos to the team.
Well, no, I love it. So in closing, then, is there one thing you might suggest to other media operators, whether they be U.S. or whether they be elsewhere in Europe, or where, you know, wherever, that they should maybe consider differently, reconsider.
I guess, you know, I still hold true that it all comes down to the people. And, you know, we don't have as many people as we used to have, and that's, you know, always the worst part of the job is, you know, having to think about how you can do more with fewer people. But to me, you know, the magic happens from having great people. And so as much as, and then having them execute really well. And so I don't have any magic wands or tricks for what media companies should do. You know, there's not a, like, you know, do this and do A and B will happen, other than I think if you hire really great people and let them figure out what they need to do and help them execute and give them the tools to execute where you can, that to me is the magic. That's where all the good stuff happens. You know, somebody had to come up with the idea to play a song for 24 hours straight and then pick that song. You know, there's no machine that's going to do that. That's a human being, you know, knowing their audience and knowing the market and having an idea and going for it. So to me, it's putting our faith, and will always be about putting our faith in people. And then I think the other thing is just this, I don't know, having humility, I guess, and being humble about the reality of our world, which is there is so much competition for time. And, you know, people, we all hear the, you know, the cliche around time's the new currency, but there's just so much competition. And we have to, whatever it is that, you know, you want people to do, you have to earn their time. And so I think we have to stay true to getting great people and then having high standards around the products that we put out if we're expecting people to give us their time.
Bravo, Julie Adam, for the work you're doing and the standards that you're setting. And I'm so grateful for your time and your generosity today. Thank you for taking a walk with me.
Thank you. Can I ask one question before we go?
Of course.
So, I mean, you have an incredible background. I'm a fan of yours. You've done, you know, amazing work throughout your career. You're in the podcasting space now. How's it going? And how are you feeling about the podcasting business?
Well, it's going great. And that doesn't suggest that taking a walk is a walk in the park, because it's not. Building an audience is certainly something that I was never under a illusion that that's easy. And once you get into it, you see it's even harder than you initially thought. But it's tremendously gratifying when it comes to creativity and learning. I'm relearning old skills and learning new skills, and that's something I'm incredibly grateful for as well. And I think it's really interesting that, and certainly something I think media companies should think about, which is the fact that you can create an audience that doesn't have any borders whatsoever. And, you know, I'm not sure how to monetize it in that regard. That's a whole other thing. You've got about 3 hours, but the notion that you can go beyond your border and cultivate a community is a pretty cool thing. So I'm not even a year in yet. I'm almost a year. And having a blast and very grateful for it, and how it allows me to connect with new people is terrific, and how it allows me to reconnect with folks like you that I respect is also a joy as well.
Oh, I love that. Well, good, congratulations, and good for you for going for it. You've always been someone who goes for it. I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you, and I wish you the best. Keep going.
Thanks, Julie. All the best to you. I appreciate it very much.
Taking a Walk with Buzz Knight is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.